Let's do it.
You know
Hold on,
the.
hold on. Let me still do it. Yo, hey man, I'm trying to tape, man. Let me work. Let me work. Yeah, let me work. All right, I'll call you right back.
Vibes. You know the vibes. We're back. We're back. You can tell we're in the off season. BJ's busy getting interrupted by phone calls, but we're here. The Hoop Genius podcast has returned. I apologize for the absence. I did a little bit of traveling, and then I got a little bit of a sickness on my travels, but I'm all good now. You know, too many people, too many places, too many germs and whatnot. But we back healthy now. I'm looking a little bit grizzly. Gotta wait for tomorrow for that fresh cut.
Mo, that looks like Detroit. What up, though?
What up, though?
You know what? We go. You know what? We gonna adopt you with that look. We like this look. We like
I'll tell
this
you what,
look.
You can adopt me, but you can drop the Pistons because I ain't trying to be involved in any of that. You know what I'm saying? I'll rock with the Lions for you this season, but I ain't rooting for the Pistons.
Okay, all right.
But BJ, how you been? How you been? It feels like it's been ages since we did a podcast.
It's great. Today was our oldest birthday. He's 24 today.
Send him my best. Happy birthday to him.
Yes. 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 So hey, you know, Mo, it's good. You know, life is good. We got one more month before the season starts. Mm-hmm. Less than a month.
Mm-hmm.
So we're feeling good right now. We're feeling good.
I'm feeling old, man. It feels like yesterday I was 24. I got 30 creeping up on me in a couple months. And
yeah.
I'd like to be the first to wish you a happy birthday in advance of your birthday. That's coming up very soon.
Oh, thank you very, very, thank you very much. Well, that's nice of you. Kind.
Come on, man.
You know what? It's kind of you.
Come on, man.
Kind of
Come
you.
On,
thank you. The Armstrongs, thank you. You know,
it's all love. It's all love from across all the way across the Atlantic. But here's the thing, B. With a month to go until the season, as you said, there's only one thing that I'm doing to fill my days, and that is playing NBA 2K25, which is out now. And the link is in the description for anyone who wants to buy it. But as I've been playing NBA 2K25, there's a few things, because this is our first look at the new rosters before we see them for real in preseason.
Okay.
There's a few things that I've noticed from playing the game that I want to talk to you about that intrigue me ahead of the season coming up.
Okay.
I played a game online the other day. I was the Memphis Grizzlies. The other team was, I think they were the Dallas Mavericks. There is no way to stop the Ja Morant and Zach Edey pick and roll in NBA 2K. How do you think teams are going to counteract this in real life, though? Because now Ja has an even better presence to run that pick and roll game with, in theory. With all due respect to Steven Adams and Valanciunas and guys who have been there.
In theory, you're correct. This kid, I watched this kid play over the summer.
Talking about Zach Edey or talking about Ja Morant?
Zach Edey. Ja Morant. I didn't watch Ja Morant play this summer. However, I did watch Zach Edey. Zach Edey is a big presence. He is a big man. Okay, not just height-wise, but he has girth to him. He is going to be a problem in the half court. He has terrific hands, nice touch around the basket, and he's going to be tough for guards to figure out how to get around him, let alone switch. You can't switch with him. That's the one thing I learned. Because he will set a pick. It's going to be very difficult to get around. You're going to switch. And he understands how to dive directly to the basket. And literally, there's nothing you can do. You can just throw it right over the top. He's...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if he does dive and the weak side help defender comes across, you've got an open three in the corner. So what are you
going to
do?
It doesn't matter. No, he's going to be a problem. Now, does he have to figure out some things? Of course. Speed of the game, better athletes, blah, 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 and all of the things. However, I like the tools that he's working with. He has terrific hands. I love bigs who can catch the ball. And I always feel, if I were to ever coach, that it would be my job to figure out how to put him in position to succeed. He has two moves right now. He has the one-hand dunk and the two-hand dunk right now.
Hey, listen. Okay? A hook shot and a turnaround jump on that post.
Now,
team's going to have
nice,
a problem.
He's got nice touch, and he can catch the ball clean in traffic. So with Ja Morant, that's already a problem. Now with his size, and the reason I'm saying that's going to be a problem is because Steven Adams showed me what he could what this could be.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bigger target, if you can't believe what I'm saying, than Steven Adams. So I think this has potential. I'm very interested to see how he improves during the course of the year. But I really like the pick. Great pick by the Memphis Grizzlies. And I think this has potential to be a really nice combination.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take some time, right? It's going to take some time. But I like that. That's a good call by them.
So another thing I've noticed in 2K25, and I think the world has noticed, your favorite player, Victor Wembanyama, is unstoppable. And we know how much he hates losing. We saw how much it meant to him to be in the Olympic final and whatnot. So I decided this year that I would take my virtual talents to San Antonio to help Wembanyama win a championship. So I'm the point guard, and I'm running those, throwing those lobs to Wembanyama all game long. I don't need to worry about guarding on the perimeter because I know there's a cleanup on L4 right behind me. Now, my question to you is, though, they've signed Chris Paul, which is going to be great. You know, experienced veteran player, locker room presence, da-da-da-da-da-da. However, when you look at this Spurs team, if you could pick any point guard currently in the NBA to be that point guard they install with Wembanyama for the future, factoring in age and all of that, are there any guards in the league? And if so, who would be your number one choice if you were San Antonio that you would try and target?
You ready? You ready for this?
Okay.
Chris Paul.
No, I'm talking about for the future, factoring in age. Hey,
listen, I'm just going to name off some bigs that Chris Paul has played with. Tyson Chandler, JaVale McGee, Bismack Biyombo, DeAndre Ayton. He understands.
DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin.
DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, Lob City. He understands how to take care of the big guys. I've never met a big who doesn't or did not like to play with Chris Paul. I think this is going to be excellent for him. Why? Because Chris Paul, unlike many guards today, if there's a part of his game that's not at the elite level, it's finishing at the basket, like so many guards we've seen.
Mm.
The Russell Westbrooks, for instance, the Derrick Roses, the players that you see now, Ja Morant. You see these players, Jalen Brunson. These guys can finish at the rim. Chris Paul, when he drives, he's looking to pass first, second. And he takes care of those guys. So I think this is excellent for him. I think this was excellent. Chris Paul, you know, he's not a guy that's trying to, you know, get 20 shots a night. So this is going to really, really benefit Wembanyama.
Agreed. But moving forwards, Chris Paul's not going to be there for much longer.
Well, the game, I think you got to get people who understand this.
So yeah, so that's what hopefully, I'm asking.
Hopefully, it's Stephon Castle.
Okay.
I mean, that's the goal. Now, what I love about the Chris Paul pickup was because you're passing this knowledge on to the next generation. That's what you're passing on.
So it worked for OKC.
Well, I don't know what Chris Paul passed on to Shea Alexander, because I've never seen Chris Paul play like that.
I mean, the way Shea drew fouls now, he had to learn that from somewhere.
Well, I happen to have seen Shea when he first came to this league. Some things are already prepackaged.
Okay, now,
you know, Mo, believe it or not, these great talents, it's just who you are.
Yeah.
You know, when I saw Shea had this uncanny ability from day one. Now, clearly he's perfected it. He understands how to play, and he's going on now to be, you know, he's a top five player in the NBA. He's a superstar. He's doing that on day one. First day I saw him, when he came in the gym, I said, wow, this is interesting. A little different. I didn't know how to really categorize it or put it in a category, but he certainly is not Chris Paul. I can tell you that much. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's unlike any player that I could really recall. Like, he's got phenomenal size. He dominates smaller. You cannot put a smaller guard on him. He's too quick for if you put a big guy on him. And he's shifty. Like, you know, he... So, I think Stephon Castle has the ability to learn from Chris Paul how to take care. If there's anything that I hope Stephon Castle takes from Chris Paul is the lost art of managing a team, managing the game, and the most important thing that you used to see at that point guard position, right? I know they call it now lead guard or positionless basketball. Someone's got to manage the time to score. Okay, now you're seeing multiple players do it where traditionally you saw the lead guards or point guards, whatever you want to call it. But I would hope that Stephon Castle can learn that. If he just learns how to manage time and score, I'll take that. Because that is absolutely necessary to win a championship. To me, this year with your Celtics, you heard me say this at the beginning of the year of last year, that Jrue Holiday was going to be the key. It was going to be depending on his ability to manage time and score. And he was terrific. I mean, he was just phenomenal. He was the, you know, I look, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they were incredible. Jaylen Brown.
No, but you could see the experience of Jrue Holiday when it came to those crucial situations.
Yeah, there's something about, everyone likes to talk about this guy's assist numbers and this. Yeah, the assist matters because it provides you some sense of like who's moving the ball. But you got to be able to manage the game and manage the time and score to know where the ball needs to get to at specific times. You don't always get an assist. Just get the ball to where it's supposed to get to. Jrue Holiday is that. He always gets the ball to the right person where they need it, where they want it. That is an art. And I hope that Stephon Castle will watch that. Chris Paul is a master at that. And that's why when people talk about, you know, all-time greats, if it's one thing I'm going to say about Chris Paul, he understands that. And that he understands that as well as anyone I've seen in the league. He can manage a game now. I want to give him that. You know, you can argue about all the other stuff, right? You know, which is fun to argue and debate. But he can manage a game.
No doubt.
No. That he can do. He can do that. Okay. And he can do that with the best of them. So, you know, shout out to Chris Paul. Stephon Castle has an excellent mentor to learn from. And if he understands that, if he just take that one thing away with his talent, and believe me, Mo, this young man has talent. Okay. Stephon Castle is a talent. If he takes that away, with his talent, Mo, you got a 1-2 punch, Mo, that you'll be talking about in the same light, okay, of like some of the great 1-2 tandems in the NBA.
Stockton and Malone.
Well,
better.
I don't know how much better you can get to that, but I will say this.
Kobe and Shaq.
They will be, if he learns that aspect of the game, because it's an art.
Yeah.
Okay. And if Kobe was, you know, rest in peace, if he was with us, I think he would share with you of the art because he had to learn how to do it playing with Shaq, and then he had to learn how to play without Shaq.
And then play with Gasol, and it's a whole other thing.
But the art is learning how to manage the game, manage and incorporate and go in and out of the game as need be. And with Wembanyama, no one will ever have to worry about getting double teamed. So that, to me, will give him a significant advantage, unlike Shea, unlike Anthony Edwards, unlike other guards, Ja Morant, Stephon Castle, if he understands that, he'll never have to worry about getting double-teamed because we know who's going to get double-teamed.
Mm-hmm.
And then for him to be able to learn that, play that way for the majority of his career, I think to me, will be an added advantage for him as he goes about his career.
Absolutely. Another thing that's amazing about NBA 2K is all the rosters are completely healthy all of the time if you turn off injuries. So I've been playing with the Pelicans, and I've been dunking about 100 times a game with Zion Williamson. And I know how much you love the Pelicans. But Brandon Ingram, decided to skip the Pelicans minicamp that they were holding over the last couple of weeks in California, as the trade buzz around Brandon Ingram continues to grow. The entire Pelicans roster was there, aside from Daniel Tice, who just signed with the team and was playing in the Olympics, and Brandon Ingram decided that he wouldn't go, despite the team believing that he would be there. Do you see the Pelicans moving off Brandon Ingram at some point this season?
I can see them moving off of him, but I wouldn't read too much into that. I'm just going to say this. I'm not sure how valuable those mini workouts are.
Did you used to do them in Chicago or like with the Chicago team elsewhere?
Of course not. Mo. No. This is new. This is new. Okay. I will repeat what I know. This is all brand new. Everyone works year round. You know, I see it all the time, and I say it sarcastically. Everyone's grinding.
That's the hashtag.
Everyone's working every day. Everyone's doing their thing. I will say this, Mo. I respect 82 games. I was fortunate enough to play a number of seasons, all 82 games. I was fortunate enough that other players that I played with valued it the same way. Over my career, I learned what works and what doesn't work. Okay? So I'm going to say this, Mo. Rest and recovery is a part of your training. Now, all of these guys are working out every day. I got to get up 1,000 shots after practice. I'm the first one to the gym and the last one to leave. I work out every day in the summer. I'm posting the workout so you can see that I'm working out over the summer. I'm working out with all different types of people. And they show you all.
No comment.
Okay. But Mo, you just said the key. This is with no injuries. But something is going on here where these players are not healthy. One of the things is we are load managing. We are doing all of these things, recovery. Something is going on. The something for me is we know what's going on. We've pushed the body to its maximum. At some point, Mo, you got to get off your feet. I've never seen, Mo, do you know how hard it is to play 82 games?
No, I don't. I've never played one in the NBA.
Exactly. I didn't train, Mo. It never occurred to us. What are you working out for? I'm getting my body ready to prepare to play 82 games. That's the only reason I train. I wasn't training I'm just going to play 50 games this year. You train to say, I want to be available for 82 games. You didn't train to I want to be more. You wanted to be more explosive, but you know you had to be explosive to do it for 82 games.
Yeah.
I got to play. Yes. I couldn't come out in the first quarter with emotion and jumping around. There's a great video you should look at, Mo, if you haven't seen it. And it kind of reminded me of what I felt like my first game as an NBA rookie. I was so fired up the first game of my career. I can remember fired up. Oh, man, I'm running around. I'm doing things. And I remember this video of Magic Johnson. He throws it to Kareem in game one, his first game of his career. And Kareem shoots a sky hook and Magic jumps in his and starts celebrating.
Yeah. I've seen it.
You see the video?
Yeah, no, I've seen the game.
And Kareem, you couldn't have seen the game, but you know, you.
Well, not live.
Yeah.
I don't have a time. Okay. I'm not Doctor Who.
Exactly.
But wait, do you know Doctor Who in America?
Yeah, we know
Doctor Who. Okay.
But the point being is he's like, hey, man, we got 81 more to go. This is a marathon. So when you learn that, you train for the length of the season. Why is everyone trying to have a, what's a 50-inch vertical if you don't know how to box out?
Yep.
If you don't have fundamentals, what's the point? So the best ability will always be availability. And you want to be available to play for 82 games. And you play a style that will allow you to play 82 games and have an opportunity to win every game that you participate. Will you win? No. But at least you make yourself available and you try. And that, to me, is going to require players to train differently because you're training to be available. And these guys are working out every day in the summer, but then they're not available during the season. Well, and then, you know, and then you hear this, well, if it was, if there was a playoff game, I could play. Well, what's going on? I just don't understand it. Now they're going to say, oh man, you're old. No, it's just, how are you going to improve your team if you're not available during the regular season, which carries over to the postseason? Like, if you can't play and participate and practice during the regular season, it's impossible to perform as the season goes on. That's just how it works. So I would hope that these players who have an opportunity to advance in the playoffs, take some time off. I didn't say don't do anything. You can do your cryotherapy. You can do your, what, there's a many ways to prepare, but prepare for that 82 games mode is a grind. That's nothing to play with. Okay. All right. And mm-hmm. I get why you don't want to play. I understand that.
I don't think okay, I ever
will. Well, but I, hey, you need Advil, you need ice buckets, you need everything to get through it. I don't care who you are. I understand why people don't do it. That's why I never criticize it. Because I'm like, there were many days, Mo, where I didn't know why I forced myself to go out there and do that. I'm not saying
what is a win.
But I knew as a child, as a kid, I said I wanted to do that. And then when I got here, I was like, nah, I'm not. No. This is what I signed up for. And I'm glad I did it. And the fact that I was able to do it in consecutive years ago, play 82 games plus the playoffs. Hey, when I got to the summer, Mo, you think I'm going to the gym to shoot jumpers?
I ain't going to ask you what you were doing.
Hey, Mo, you know how some people say coulda, woulda, shoulda? I can tell you this. The NBA was good to me, Mo.
BJ, I'm going to tell you this. I never played 82 games, but the NBA has been pretty good to me, too.
Hey, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. I love the NBA. I loved it. I love every opportunity. But, you know, I can assure you that I can assure anyone who plays that game, you better be committed to that game. Okay? And I know we're here. We're just having fun. But the truth of it is, you better be committed to that game. And you better love that game.
That's fact.
And you don't play 82 games burning the candle on both ends. I can tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. Okay.
Only a handful of people have managed.
Well, there's always exceptions to the rule, but I can tell you 99.9% of us.
But this gives me the perfect segue.
Yes.
If you would like to see Mr. BJ Armstrong attempt to build a Wilt Chamberlain-style player in NBA 2K25,
please
head over to my new gaming YouTube channel, and I will put the link in the description when the video is live.
Hey Mo, someone sent me. Did I send you the Wilt Chamberlain stats?
MVP that race that you sent me from. I have it on my computer here.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay, the 1962 MVP race in the NBA, right? This is maybe the most ridiculous graphic you'll ever see. Okay, here's the candidates. Here's the candidates that we have. We have Jerry West, 30.8 points, 7.9 rebounds, 5.4 assists. And you have Elgin Baylor, 38.3 points a game with 18.6 rebounds, and led his team to a 54-26 season. Then you have Oscar Robertson, 30.8 points per game, 12.5 rebounds, and 11.4 assists. Averaged that triple-double. But it still wasn't enough, as the second place, Wilt Chamberlain, had 50.2 points per game, 25.7 rebounds, and a 49-31 record. And the MVP was Bill Russell, 18.9 points. The great Bill Russell, may I say. 23.6 rebounds in a 60-win season.
How about that? How about that, bro? How
about and we that? Think, and we think today's numbers are crazy.
Well, look at look what I just sent you, though. Look what I just sent you.
Okay. In NBA history, including playoffs, there had only been 21 players, 174 instances, who recorded a 30-30 game. Kevin Love is the only active player on the list. Of those 174 instances, 136 of them were by Wilt Chamberlain.
And this guy, well, just think about that, Mo. He did that 136 times.
Burning a candle on both ends.
Hey, I said 99.9%.
Exactly. There's the 0.1.
You got it. No.
But that's crazy in a 12-year span as well. So because it's a 12-year span, like, look at it like this. Kevin Love did it once at the peak of his powers when he was on the Timberwolves. Wilt Chamberlain was doing this from 1959 until 1972.
This is not real. This is what I encourage. This isn't. I encourage the young people to just go back and just study some of this. Well, this is like insanity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about this. Wilt average. He averaged, okay, 50-25 for an entire season. Elgin Baylor averaged 38-18 at the small forward position.
Crazy.
Okay. And the last stat, because you know I'm not a stat guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's only been one player to lead the league, Mo, in scoring and assist in the same season. You know who that is?
Are you talking about per game or per totals?
Per game.
Okay, because I know Trae Young did it recently, but that's totals. So no, who is the player?
Tiny Nate Archibald.
Fair play. 1970 what? 72? 73?
I don't know what year that was. You know who was the coach?
Tell me. Was he with the Celtics for that?
Great. No, he was with the, I want to say the Kansas City. I want to Kings. Say the, yeah, the Kansas City Kings. Yeah. You know who the coach was?
No.
The legendary Boston Celtic point guard.
That was the coach.
Bob Cousy. I think it was the Kansas City Royals, I believe, Mo.
I didn't know he coached the Royals.
Yeah, of course.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, well, it's not new. We just want to get you guys caught up. No one's hating. We just want to get you caught up so you can know. Imagine, Mo, if someone led the league in assist and scoring in the same year.
Well, we don't need to imagine because there's a couple of players who could do it.
Okay. Who could do it?
Luka Doncic could lead the league in scoring and assists this season coming up.
Oh, okay.
I think he could.
I agree with you. He could.
Yeah. I think if Jokic actually wanted to, like, I don't think he will ever do it, but if he really was motivated to do it, I think Jokic could do it too.
He could.
But they haven't yet. So.
Great point.
You know who else could? Great I think my player on NBA 2K25 could. Link is in the description to get your copy. But yeah, that's another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast. Enjoy your weekend, guys. Sorry for the absence that we had. Maybe over the next month or so before the season gets underway, we'll do a little history segment where BJ can educate on some of the historical figures of the game.
Just share. We're just sharing. What we want, what we want is to people to say, hey, let me look this up. Let me see what's going on here. Yeah. Because we put so much emphasis on generations. Oh, this is just watch the game. The game is just, hey, let's watch the game in the different eras. That's really fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I love watching the game in this era. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're playing a different game. That's the one thing that the media never takes into consideration. It's a totally different game. That's mm-hmm. why it's never fair to compare players, because you're watching players in different rules. Like, I don't know what a player would look like today to play mode where there's no hand checking.
I would love to see it.
Yeah, I would love to see Trae Young, for instance, playing in our era with hand checking.
Same.
I would love to. You know who I would love to see is Steph Curry playing with hand checking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to see LeBron James playing with hand checking.
I'd love to see all of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the and whole then, league. But you know what? But I would love to see the great players of that era play without hand checking.
I want to see how quick it takes Gary Payton to foul out of a game.
in today's game. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It would be a
five possessions.
It would be a different game. Yeah. I would love to. I was just talking to a friend of mine. I said, you know what I would love to see? I would love to see a coach substitute Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in today's game and tell him, hey, we're going small.
Get some rest, big fella.
I want to see. We're going to hold you out because we're going to go small. I want to see that.
We need to match up with Draymond at the five.
Yeah. Well, don't make me laugh.
All right, that's it. Another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast. We'll be back on Monday with more. Appreciate you, BJ. Appreciate you guys tuning in. And most importantly, until next time, subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get podcasts. Check out my new gaming channel. You'll find that across my social media. Just tweet me or ask me in the Discord. And most importantly, yeah, buckets.